Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Well, Merry Christmas, Gary, and welcome to Christmas by Design, because this week, it's Christmas.
Amen.
Christmas is here. We have been celebrating here on Family by Design by retracing the steps of the very familiar characters and the Christmas story, and hopefully you have maybe seeing the Christmas story in a different light here on the broadcast. And today, we are covering probably one of the most, if not the most, quoted, read, and remembered passages.
And acted out in churches.
And acted out in probably every church across the country.
Home, and you name it.
But we are talking about the account of the shepherds. And I love the shepherds, Gary. I just love the shepherds.
I've always loved the shepherds, but I really, until a few years ago, didn't really know some of the really incredible nuances of the Lamb of God being born in Bethlehem.
Right.
That's an astounding, you know, God does things that are just so amazing.
But I love the fact that. And actually, before we get into it, I'm just going to read from Luke chapter 2.
We
most of our listeners have probably heard this. Maybe you haven't heard it before. Maybe it's the first time you're hearing it. But we'll read from chapter 2, and we'll just read the whole thing. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. I just can't but help picture this group of guys, you know, and the more I learn, more, you know, you get the opportunity to learn more about kind of the cultural setting for things. But shepherds were not real high up on the social status totem pole, you know, in that period of time, you know. And just to think that these rough and tumble guys, you know, who were out there tending to the sheep, it was, you know, preparation. These were the flocks that would eventually be the lambs who would be, you know, used for sacrifices for Passover. But these guys, you know, their life was pretty predictable. You know, they, to me, it's kind of like they're the blue collar class of of Bethlehem, and mm-hmm. and God chooses to meet them and give them, you know, they're the ones who get the broadcast first. They get the memo. They get the, you know, whatever you want to, whatever term you want to use. But they get the in after Joseph and Mary and Elizabeth and Zacharias. These are the first people outside of that little circle that God lets in on what's going on. And what I love about this story, Gary, is that the shepherds got it. They treasured Jesus, and the result of their treasuring of Jesus is they went out and they glorified God and just could not contain themselves about what they'd seen. And it reminds me of something we've just been recently talking about, the importance of magnifying God for his judgments, his wonders, and his wondrous works, as Psalm 105 says. And this is what the shepherds exhibit to me.
Why shepherds? Why shepherds? You said they were lowly, probably on the lower end, if not the lowest end of the spectrum. It's so remarkable to me. As a child, I think what I was always affixed with is just realizing that Jesus wasn't he didn't make a reputation for himself.
Yeah.
It was about him being something. It was about him coming to love and to care. And the fact that he's born in a stable, I mean, you know, the whole circumstance of having no room in the inn, having to be born in a cave or stable or whatever you want to call it, and his bed being a little manger, I mean, you know, a little place to throw hay, so the hay was probably clean, but, you know, strips of cloth for clothing. The direst human poverty. And I've raised sheep, I've had goats. I love the barn. There's a sweet cleanliness in the barn. You know, that's precious in and of itself with the lambs, especially, and the sheep. But, wow. You just don't think of kings being born in ivory, that are born normally in ivory powers, of being born in a stable. You just don't get it. And so there's something.
And you certainly
so
don't
majestic.
Think of the welcoming committee for the king of the universe to be a bunch of.
They probably weren't in Sunday clothes.
They probably were.
Or maybe
not.
I should say Sabbath clothes.
They weren't wearing their finest because they didn't really have finest, you know.
But think of the mystery, how God does things. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. They were introduced to the Savior. And you know, these shepherds in Bethlehem, you know what their role was. Every year was Passover.
Right.
The enactment of that future great Passover of Christ himself, our Passover, being slain for us. And they were to raise these sheep, and these lambs were sold so that folks could buy a Passover lamb that was without blemish and keep the Passover in Jerusalem. Bethlehem's a short distance from Jerusalem outside. And so the ones that were tending the Passover sheep, excuse me, they were the first ones to attend the Lamb of God when he was born, the little lamb. That's so remarkable to me. And you're right, they got it. Now, this is the fourth visitation by angels.
Incidentally, all the other characters that we've discussed on the program all got a visit. And so,
yep.
But this group of guys, they sure are not on the radar screen that I would be thinking about who'd be set up for an angelic visitation.
so let's think of it this way, okay? A sequence. Maybe there's some improvement here. The first visit sequentially was Zacharias. And he wanted to have some further proof that this guy was telling the truth. You know, and you know, here he was in the Holy of Holies, incensing the Holy Tabernacle where the Shekinah presence of God was to be dwelling. An angel of the Lord visits him and appears to him, so he sees him visibly.
I mean, and that's a good place
that's
for
like it. Entering into heaven.
That's a good place for an angel to show up.
And
you might expect one there.
Maybe you wouldn't expect the unbelief he had,
right?
To that degree.
So we have Zacharias, and then right.
So then we have Mary, and she had a few questions, you know, just you know, mild questions like, you know, how's this going to happen? I don't understand. But now we didn't say anything about this. But
and then we had Joseph.
But did Joseph ask the angel any questions?
No.
He asked all the questions about Mary to Mary, I guess, and to himself. You know, wondering about that angel. But when the angel shows up to him, he realizes, okay. So apparently his questioning was done and the angel silenced his questions. But these shepherds, they're just... Now look at the sequence. So doesn't it pay to learn to walk in humility? The more we're fixed by our understanding, the more distant we are from our believing.
Say that again.
The more... We're fixed by our understanding. The more we are confident in what we understand and know, then the more disconnected we are from the ability to believe. We lose our wonder. You know, maybe this is what the scripture means. There's that sense of childlikeness. Except you can be converted and become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
We have to stop understanding before we believe. We have to just realize God is... And we're going to trust him. And that's our potential today for the Christian life every day. To believe, to trust, to rest, to receive him into our lives. And enjoy the unfolding process. Because we're taking him at his word. I'm not talking about hallucinations and creating some wild imaginations. But to just obey what he reveals to us. Obey in his word. I mean, what would it look like if we just took God at his word because we trusted him? And we just said, okay, well, God says so. I think I'll... What's that little childhood song we used to sing? God said it, and I believe it. That settles it for me. We have faith because we know him and we can trust. So those shepherds, they were the first evangelists.
They were, yeah.
They went off broadcasting and praising God. And they saw the angels, and the angels, by the way, weren't singing.
they were saying,
they
which
were
you
saying.
Can you can say and sing at the same time.
Right. I'm sure you can.
I mean, Handel wrote it down. He had the song and
that's
everything.
Right.
But I think the thing that strikes me about the shepherds, Gary, is that there is an obvious result that they valued what had happened. You know, and it is interesting. We have kind of this juxtaposition in the story about how Mary, you know, continued to ponder these things in her heart. She continued to kind of meditate on them, and you know, her response to everything was just as you know, poignant and profound in a sense. But the shepherds, they're pumped. They're excited. I mean, they leave the stable and they're, you know, you can just, you know, it's kind of like if you're ever at a, you know, some sort of amazing event and you just got to tell somebody about it. I mean, you know, you go see an incredible play or, you know, in a very rare circumstance, you go and see a great movie and you just were really inspired by the movie. Or maybe you heard a story or went to a concert, you know, and it was just fantastic. You have to tell people about it. And that's the kind of sensation I get from is that these guys, they knew this was just didn't happen every day. And they were excited. The treasuring that they experienced, I mean, they knew they'd found a treasure. And they wanted to literally tell every single person in the area about it. So I can just envision them, you know, leaving that stable and grabbing someone by the arm and say, do you know what's happened? Have you heard? Do you know that right here in Bethlehem, the Savior has been born, the Messiah has come, he's here. you know, who's going to save the whole world? I mean, and you can imagine the reaction of the townspeople or the citizenry, the people who'd come to Bethlehem, maybe they're out of town, are like, you know, what? Did you just hear him? I mean, we don't know exactly how people responded. But it doesn't seem in any fashion that the shepherds were in the slightest discouraged by however response happened. I mean, we're not told that anybody else went to the stable that night because of what the shepherd said. Maybe some did. Yeah. It doesn't say that they did or didn't. It just, I've always kind of had the indication that people just kind of, okay, you know, that's another.
Well, that's interesting. You know, you've really drawn an interesting parallel to today's dynamic of our witnessing,
sure,
of our personal relationship, awareness, and knowledge of God. And that's all we have. We just have the ability to witness,
right,
to express it, to say what is by experience, and others have to process it. So that's a good question. I wonder how many came to visit.
Yeah, and if any, you know, maybe none, maybe some, but the end result for them is that they themselves had been personally impacted in a way that they, you know, they were never going to be the same. And, you know, of course, you know, I love to think about, you know, what happened to all these characters. You know, in some ways, that's the that's the sad part about the Christmas story, is that so many of these people, we don't know what the end of the story was for all of them. We certainly follow, of course, Jesus himself. But Joseph, we don't know what happened really in the end for him. And Mary, we get to follow. But I think about these shepherds, and I wonder, did they have the opportunity years later, if some of them were young enough, to hear the stories coming about this little baby that they once saw? You know, we don't know. But the thing I love about it is that they had this spirit of joy and of glorifying and praising God. That's the last we hear about the shepherds.
There's so many wonderful Christmas carols written about the lowliness and the humbleness, and I can't help but go back to Mary's comment that she made to her cousin when she's reflecting. This is, you know, 6 months before the baby's born, so this was this attitude of her heart. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their heart. Now think about that. What is an imagination of the heart? It's what I have the capability of constructing as a line of reason and understanding by which I base judgment. So the natural man who's full of pride, who's confident of his intellect and his deduction and his analysis and his judgment call, he analyzes things and he's scattered. Continue the reading. He scatters the proud in the imaginations of their heart. So it's like there's this sweet tale of who is it that doesn't get scattered, but gets drawn, brought in. Verse 53, he's exalted those of low degree. Shepherds were of low degree. What an exaltation. I was the first visitors of the Son of God born. You know, you wonder the stories they told to their grandchildren and, you know, all of the, I mean, we don't know. We'll hear about it someday. We'll get to enjoy it. Exalted those of low degree, filled the hungry with good things. He is focused on providing. So What a challenge to us. The roadblock to our faith is our attempt to understand. And we need to, instead of focusing on understanding, we need to experience and trust and embrace and enjoy, because there's where the drawing in, there's where the power of God is, there's where the revelation of God is. And you know that attitude of Mary. When those shepherds came, there had to have been a deep joy of delight. Isn't this interesting? Now, she had already been told that this would be the Savior of the world. they knew the theology that the lamb, the unblemished lamb, represented the sacrifice. They were in Bethlehem. They knew all that history and story. But what a snapshot and the welcoming of these shepherds. And like, you know, only God could have a fitting scene for the dynamic. I mean, God's ways are so beyond our understanding. And the really amazing thing is the thing that would scatter us from him is the very thing that God uses. So it's like, it's almost like our pride is self scattering. You know, we're incredulous, and so we don't even make the slightest effort toward that, which is that place of belief.
Yeah. So I think what I'd like to do, Gary, is we're wrapping up this broadcast today, but you know, those of you who are listening, you have the holiday before you, and you know, we've been following this journey of the characters of the Christmas story, and our hope and our prayer is that you are coming to treasure Jesus in a more profound way than perhaps you have before. And think about the shepherds in particular, you know, because in a sense, probably if any character in this whole story, a lot of us, that's actually who we can probably most readily identify with. You know, we have one more group of guys that we're gonna talk to and or talk about next week, but most of us don't follow into that. But really, a lot of us identify with the shepherds. These were guys who, you know, really had nothing. They had nothing to bring. They had nothing meriting the ability, the opportunity to come in and actually be the first people to receive so, Christ.
What an interesting thought. Who are the visitors of Jesus? And would you visit Jesus? Would you have been a visitor? As we wrap up, the rest of that chapter continues on with, after 8 days, the purification rite and circumcision of Jesus occurred. And there's two more visitors. There's Simeon, and the scripture says the Spirit made him come into the temple the very day. That's a guy living with the Lord. Holy Spirit says, you know, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's anointed. Spirit led him in, and there he is, and he sees, took him up in his arms and blessed God. You know, that's, you know, it's like each of these visitations are more glorious in terms of the instantaneous response. And he just says, Lord, you can let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. So that, it's amazing the intensity of revelation that keeps flooding forth by the Spirit of God in these announcements and these annunciations and these this worship and glorification. This is all God-constructed worship. Men worship him in spirit and in truth, but don't let that spirit escape you in terms of that understanding, because this isn't something we come to by reason. And then, you know, Simeon's finishing up his praise tour, and Anna, the prophetess, comes in. She was married 7 years, and then spent the rest of her widowhood, 84 years. That's 84 years of widowhood she spent in the temple praising God. And so she comes in, instantly gives thanks to the Lord, and spoke of him to all who look for redemption in Israel. So what an amazing thing. It's so remarkable. The pride of man scatters us from the place of observation. The Spirit of God draws us in. And there's all these shades of levels of our capability and readiness to hear from the Lord. But these guys didn't have angels, you know, Simeon and Anna. They had that simple prompting of the Holy Spirit, and they didn't have a moment's doubt. They were instantly giving praise to God.
Well, we trust that you'll take these things with you this week as you go into your own celebration of Christ's coming. and not just entering into our world, but entering into the very reality of our existence and how that would change us forever. We would encourage you to listen to our previous Christmas broadcasts. We've been following the Christmas story. You can find those at WTHU.org on the audio vault. Pull down the Family by Design tab and you can find all the previous episodes there. On behalf of Gary Cox and all the folks here at Family by Design, we heartily wish you a Merry Christmas and trust that it's filled with the love and the joy that only Jesus can bring. And we look forward to joining you again for one more broadcast about the Christmas story here on Family by Design next week as we continue to treasure God's design for your family. Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.